Welcome to Playmakers Talk Show, where business owners, professionals, and entrepreneurs gather to discover playmaking ideas for success. Your host is internationally recognized speaker, facilitator, and author, Steve Klein, who sits down with fascinating playmakers who have made themselves and their company successful. Steve will introduce you to CEOs and executives who discuss their playmaking path toward success. And now, it's time to meet this show's playmaker. Here's your host, Steve Klein.
Daryl Hammond said, "In neighborhoods without a usual park or playground, the incidence of childhood obesity increases by 29%. Welcome to Playmakers Talk Show. I'm Steve Klein. In the studio today is a guest who helps to reduce childhood obesity. Today's Playmakers company creates fun and keeps kids always in motion. With us today is a CEO who still plays and coaches hockey. This great playmaker is Jason Edmondson. Jason is founder and president of Werlix Design Incorporated. Now, Werlix Design is a full-service playground equipment company based in the Dallas area. Jason was inspired to start the company after spending hours with his then 4-year-old son at playgrounds across North Texas. Started in partnership with Landscape Structures in 2017, Werlix provides playground equipment that ensures children of all abilities have a chance to play and interact together. In 3 years, Jason has more than doubled the Werlix team to 14 team members. Additionally, under his leadership, Werlix has experienced tremendous success, growing revenues over 300% annually. Before joining Huffcore in 2008, Jason spent 15 years working in commercial construction as a carpenter, installer, and project manager. Well, Jason, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
I think we'll have plenty to talk about, but the first thing I'd like to hit is something that's near and dear to your heart, and that's hockey.
Yes.
So tell us about your love of hockey and how that started.
Well, surprisingly enough, it was a much later in life endeavor. Most of my friends started playing, including my son now, started playing at 4 or 5 years old. And I actually didn't start officially playing team hockey until junior year of high school. And it really just started with basement hockey with friends who were on the hockey team at that time and, you know, growing up in Naperville, Illinois, and falling, you know, a definite passion for the game, and evolved into finally convincing my mom to buy me the equipment and convincing her that the sport was safe enough. And junior and senior year, we're hockey in high school, and I've been in love with it ever since.
Well, you grew up or were born in the Detroit area.
Yes, sir.
Were the Red Wings influential to you at that point?
So, yeah, so to this day, I still do claim allegiance with the Red Wings. That was a real challenge growing up in Chicago for high school, as well as going to Northern Illinois University and being surrounded by friends who are diehard Blackhawks fans when the Red Wings had a good 27-year run of being in the playoffs. So, yes, they were the initial influence with my hockey.
Well, you've continued playing hockey in the Dallas area. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so I still play in Frisco. Great group of guys. I've found actually hockey for me. There's a certain unique personality that plays the sport. So everywhere I've traveled, I've moved extensively growing up, and as an adult, everywhere I've traveled, the fastest way for me to make friends and people that I still have contact with today is by joining a men's league hockey team. And the same is true here. There's actually folks that currently work in this building that I met playing men's league hockey. So it's really just a great experience to quickly meet folks with the same interest as you.
Well, you coach your son in hockey. Is it similar with the parents, getting to know them? Then they must be strong hockey fans too.
Yes. Sports for parents as well as kids is a great way for kids to bond and parents to bond. And likewise with men's league hockey, we've met some great parents that we're very close to today and folks that we haven't necessarily played on the same team year after year, but we still keep in touch, and we definitely have our hockey family here in North Texas, which is great.
Well, you have an interesting company building playground equipment, and you've had a lot of success in a very short period of time. Let's start with how you came up with the idea of this. What hit you to start this company?
Had kind of reached a point with my former company where changes were being made. They were really looking to sell to a private equity firm, and there's a whole host of things that go along with that process, and was actually interviewing to be Landscape Structures general manager of their Skyway Shade division, which is based here in East Dallas, and was very fortunate in that I went through about 6 interviews. with really almost every one of their executive leadership team, and had a secondary call with the president. And he and I talked, and he was very candid. He said, "Jason," he said, "I think your skill is really business development and business growth, and not necessarily operating a factory that sells and manufactures shades. What would you think about starting your own distributorship?" And it was really fortunately, and I'm very thankful daily, that he saw in me what my actual strengths were, rather versus wanting me to manage the operations of a division. So,
well, you went from landscape to playgrounds. Some similarity there, but what caused you to want to develop Werlex specifically in developing something for kids?
Having then, as you mentioned, having then a 4-year-old son who spent a great deal of time on playgrounds all over North Texas, and just really wanting to do something with kids of all abilities. You know, my previous organization, specialty subcontracting, was challenging and was rewarding, but nowhere near as rewarding as building playgrounds with kids of all abilities, whether it be mobility impairments or cognitive ability challenges, or, you know, so many kids these days are on the autism spectrum. There's just a really great immediate benefit to seeing these kids on these players that are designing with everybody in mind. It's in the social interactions that go with that as well.
Well, the other piece of it, I grew up in an era where kids spent all their time outside. Bicycles, playing games, etc. There was not a whole lot to do inside. There weren't that many TV stations to watch either. But now we drive through neighborhoods, you rarely see a child. I would guess, you tell me if I'm right or wrong on this, that this is now pulling kids back out to interact with other kids and to get a lot of exercise. Is that what's happening?
Yeah, so there's some great pieces, articles, research done on the impacts of technology in kids' lives. And there was some great research done where there were folks of different generations, and they were asked questions like, "Hey, what did you like to do when you grew up?" And it was very similar to my generation. We went out and played kick the can, or we went and played playgrounds, and we were out literally until your parents said, you know, when the street lights come on, you come home. And they interviewed kids nowadays that are my son's age up to, you know, teens and early 20s. And, you know, "Hey, what do you like to do to unwind?" "Well, I like to play on my phone," or "I like to play video games," or "I like to, you know, look at different, you know, formats of social media and things." And it's just a completely different ideology or a completely different culture than it was with our generations. And there's so much socialization, sports, competitiveness. There's so many things that happen on a playground that you can't recreate on a video game, that it is incredibly important for kids to get outside and be active with other kids.
Well, you are the founder and president of Werlex Design, and if you go to the website, which is werlix.com, werlix.com, just on the homepage, there's a wild piece of equipment that kids can get involved in that is different from any other piece of equipment I've seen on playground before. Who comes up with these ideas?
It's a great question. So landscape structures is wildly known as the forefront and the leader, both with design and inclusion in the industry. And they have a great design team. At this point, I believe at least 16 to 20 individual designers. You kind of give them a format and idea, and we partner very much with landscape architects and municipalities, and those folks get a great vision, whether that be colors, what age group they're looking for, how much the playground needs to be inclusive. They're, you know, wildly diverse format of, you know, a fully inclusive structure for mobility impairments or autism-related things. And then that really gets turned over to this design team, and they create some really remarkable equipment. We're actually fortunate. We just brought on two folks in 2020 that are going to be doing play equipment design for us locally, which is a really great advantage for these guys to be in-house with us and be with our sales team and get to meet with the design, you know, the other professionals and owners directly to help them with their design.
Well, from what I see on your website, you're only limited by your own imagination.
Yes.
In looking for things that kids can do to use their body and their minds. The name Werlex, how did that develop?
It's a great story. My mom is a former vice president of marketing, and, you know, being in that industry for as long as she was prior to retirement, she helped develop a lot of, you know, whether it be taglines or things like that. And we probably went through 100 names, and the names were either taken via domain or they sounded too much like a competitor's piece of equipment. So by the time we vetted the names out, both on the internet and with Landscape Structures and their, you know, their family of folks who know about so many of these different things for the last 20, 30 years, we finally got down to Worlix. Fairly catchy. The domain was available. Landscape Structures seemed to give it the two thumbs up, and here we are, Worlix Design.
Your sub name, I guess it would be, Always in Motion. How did that come up?
So it's twofold. So one is our team is truly always in motion. We believe in unparalleled customer service. It's one of our mottos. It's part of our culture. Everybody here works very hard. The construction industry is very fast moving. Nowadays, expectations is everybody wants information immediately. So our team truly is very responsive from a customer service standpoint and always moving, always in motion. And then there's the obvious that kids always need to be in motion, whether it's, you know, what you referenced earlier with child obesity and the dangers that this country and kids of all ages now are facing with obesity, as well as adults, how important it is to get these kids out there moving and mobile. It's just something that we felt there's kind of a double meaning to it, but it was something that's very important to us.
Are you primarily working with municipalities and school systems?
Municipalities, schools, churches, being here in North Texas, that's a very popular customer. Daycares, there's a very similar increase in the design IQ of customers in every base. So gone are the days of the playgrounds that we played on with one slide and pea gravel and one merry-go-round that you could, you know, make go really fast and see how many kids could fly off. And now people's expectations really are of these great, big, beautiful structures that are inclusive. And that has since carried over to Montessori schools and daycares. Parents want their kids to go places that have safe equipment that challenges their kid and has great from a play value perspective.
I remember being in grade school, and obviously the greatest opportunity for us was going to recess and going outside. We never had anything near what you're putting together. But do kids still feel that way? Is this something they're looking forward to go out and play on your equipment?
Absolutely. And, you know, again, going back to the design professionals, whether it's landscape architects or AIA architects, they're getting feedback based on responses from schools and municipality projects and things that they're doing. And they're taking that feedback and constantly challenging themselves and challenging the owners, whether that's the school districts or the municipalities, to do bigger and better things. And the kids truly respond to it. Again, I go back to the main point that is very obvious to parents is the level of inclusion. And that has become a completely different philosophy over the last 10 to 15 years that continues to change daily and push the limits of these play areas that these kids are playing on.
Well, you're still a distributor for Landscape Structures Incorporated. Do you do much in the area of landscape, or does that just fit in automatically as you're designing the playground equipment?
There is some of that. There's definitely topography and topographical related challenges where things, you know, where they'd like things to be built with different elevations. We did a great project for City of Plano called Windhaven Park, where it is a truly inclusive play area. And what we did was kind of build the playground into a very large bowl. So everything can be ramped. Kids with mobility impairments can get from every location to any other location, can transfer out of their chairs and get access to the slides and make it truly inclusive. So there are changes to the landscape. There are different types of surfacing that we use, whether it's rubber surfacing or synthetic turf, engineered wood fiber. So that obviously creates its own different landscape changes too. So yeah, we really want to be a turnkey option for anything that our customers would need or, you know, the folks that we work with in a park environment. We're capable of assisting them with that.
Well, I understand you also distribute for Skyway Shades, Aquatic Splash Pad Equipment, Forever Lawn, Synthetic Turf, and a few others. Because of that, my guess is when you're sitting down with either a client or a prospective client, you probably spend, and possibly one of your people, just spend time asking questions to find out what they're looking for. Because every single one of your designs is unique and different. Is that correct?
Correct. And that is one of the challenges that we do convey to folks. Everything is built essentially custom. It's a just-in-time manufacturing process. There isn't, you know, 500 sets of swings sitting on a shelf. that are all specific, you know, colors. There's a whole host of different color palettes available and swing types available, and playgrounds, certainly towers and things, that it really is built to order, and really can be customized to every level. From a standard playground that you would see, you know, at a school, in an elementary school like my son's, to things like, again, Windhaven Park. Dream Park in Fort Worth is a fantastic inclusive play area that was a very unique story in itself. The three women spent years of their time and effort to raise millions of dollars to build a truly inclusive play area in Fort Worth. So there are things like that that are truly custom and unique, and kids and parents absolutely appreciate those types of projects.
Again, I'm looking at your website, which is Wurlicks.com, and just looking at on the homepage where there's a house and some stairs, it says Dream. This reminds me of Six Flags Over Texas for a playground. Would you agree with that? And is that what you're attempting to do for these kids?
With those, so again, going back to Dream Park, which is the one you're referring to on the website, Dream Park is considered a destination-inclusive playground. So people from all over the DFW Metroplex have and are traveling to that project. I heard a funny story. Our business development manager, David, who's here in the office, was there recently on a Tuesday at 10:30 in the morning, and there was hundreds of kids on that playground. Which now, you know, again, during COVID, what a great way to let, you know, kids blow off steam and parents get a break from in-home teaching of their kids, depending on their circumstance. But those are truly destination locations where people are driving miles and miles, not only because it is like a theme park, there's a ton of play value, but it's inclusive, so kids of all abilities can play there and feel like they're able to interact with kids regardless of any sort of challenges that they may have.
Is there much competition in your arena?
There is. There's a lot of folks here in North Texas that have the ability to create great playgrounds. I think where Landscape Structures and Wurlicks Design stands out is the design capabilities and the commitment to inclusion. We're looking at every possible ability or every possible challenge when we're designing these. There's a culture at Landscape Structures that isn't recreated with any of our competitors. It's just not. They're an employee-owned company. They're the only one that's left that's employee-owned. They're just a great group of folks. There's just short of 400 people that are there. Every one of them, as well as all of us as reps, you know, from myself all the way down to our estimators, you know, everybody is committed to inclusion and making these great play spaces for kids of all abilities.
What kind of obstacles, what kind of problems have you had, and how did you overcome those?
So I'm very lucky, working at my former company, to kind of backtrack a bit, that I was able to learn there for 4 years as a general manager, essentially running three offices, to kind of get some of those kinks ironed out prior to starting my own business. I would say the challenge is growth. And people could say, well, you've grown, you know, 300% in 3 years. How is that a challenge? Well, it's a challenge because you need a bigger space and you need more team members and you need to find the right people and resources. And there's investments in equipment and all kinds of things. And that is a challenge. We're very fortunate here. Several of us that are here came from my former company, which is a great sign of respect for me and something I'm very appreciative that they trusted me enough to help me start this venture. And then we've also been very fortunate. We've just found great people. And as a result, the challenges have been minimized just by the fact that we're able to continue to find people either through word of mouth or, you know, or just other people in the industry that want to come work with us. We've been very lucky. So the challenges have been minimized, but it really is finding a good team that has been a big challenge, especially in a robust economy like North Texas.
Well, in dealing with your clients, you're only limited by your imagination based on what your clients are looking for, and you and your people come up with ideas to put these parks and these playgrounds together. But what's next for Wurlicks? Where do you go from here? Is there any way of expanding what you're doing and developing new aspects of your company?
There is. You had referenced Skyways and Aquatics, which is the Shade and Splash Pad division. There's a ton of opportunity in North Texas, especially in the summer, to shade play areas as well as to provide splash pads for kids when it's 105 degrees outside. So there's some of that. There's still a need in our organization for more design capability. You know, you look at Landscape Structures, they have an army, you know, essentially of designers and combined experience well over 100 years of folks that just do a fantastic job. We would love to have that capability. We're very much in our infancy from a design perspective. But beyond that, there's still absolutely opportunities in an economy with the population increases that we're here in North Texas for us to continue to grow.
Well, again, you've had a lot of success as an entrepreneur. It's been a very short time from moving from one company to the other. Plus, you had some help doing that. But what advice would you give to a potential entrepreneur who wanted to start their own company, who was beginning from scratch and wanted to develop a company similar to the type you have, not necessarily in the landscaper or playground business, but wanted to develop a company and make it work? What would you tell them?
Sure. So the two most important things that I've learned, both running a company for another organization and now owning my own company, is you have to have a great team. At the end of the day, the secret sauce isn't a multitude of ingredients. The secret sauce is you need to have a great team. You need to have people that you can trust, people that want to do the right thing, people that are going to be available, that have a commitment to your culture. And then the other thing is to do what you say you're going to do. And that's from me as an owner all the way down, again, to our estimators, our office manager, our project manager, so many people that make these projects go from the design phase all the way to the installation and billing phase. You have to have good people, and you have to follow through and do what you say you're going to do. And I actually find it really surprising how few organizations actually follow through and do what they say they're going to do. If you have a great team and you have a commitment to customer service, and you follow through and do what you say you're going to do, chances are you're going to be able to be successful.
Well, having good people, having great team begins with leadership. How did you develop your leadership skills to develop the company you have?
I would go back to college. I really would. Northern Illinois was a great university. There was definitely some benefit there as going back as an older individual where I had I've been a carpenter for several years prior to returning. I kind of looked at it a little bit differently, but really the leadership lessons that I learned in our fraternity were something that I carry with me. I was fortunate enough to be the president of a fraternity. It was about 90 guys. And if you can convince those gentlemen to live a fairly reasonable life and to pick up after themselves and to pay their bills on time and to do the right thing, it makes things like business leadership significantly easier. So I really do credit it back to my experience in my fraternity.
Well, gentlemen in college that are in a fraternity do not look for structure generally.
True.
Which is one of the reasons why I'm in a fraternity. I can see how running a fraternity help them develop structure, and that apparently is how you develop your leadership skills.
Correct. And again, being older, it was different. I looked at things differently. There was definitely some mentor opportunities, you know, being 23, 24 years old, finally going back to college. I wasn't 18. I wasn't right out of high school. I had lived a life and worked in a career and learned a lot of lessons, and it was nice to be able to pass that down. That maybe helped me convince some of these guys to do the right thing a little bit more often, but it was just a really fantastic experience to be able to, you know, here we are at Werlix Design, and there's now 15 of us, but here we are at Werlix Design, and it's still nowhere near the 90 college kids that were involved in our fraternity years ago. So,
well, Jason, if somebody wanted to get more information or to get a hold of you, how would they do that?
You can go through the website. There's a contact there through the website. So either my email address and or the phone number can be found on the website, and you're able to get access through there.
And your phone number and your website, werlix.com, is also on our website, playmakerstalkshow.com. Jason, thank you very much for being part of Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure. Thank you for the opportunity. I really appreciate it.
Great information. Again, we just spoke with Jason Edmondson. Jason is the founder and president of Werlix Design Incorporated. This has been a great show. Thank you, Jason, for being on the show. And thank you for all of you listening to us on the show. Join us again at PlaymakersTalkShow.com, where you can get all of our past episodes. That's PlaymakersTalkShow.com, and we're going to be back with more Playmakers. See you then.
You've been listening to Playmakers Talk Show with Steve Klein. Join Steve again at PlaymakersTalkShow.com for more interviews with interesting and successful playmaking CEOs and executives.